There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Did you know that there have been 500,000 new migrants coming to Australia in the past year?
That's right, Queenie.
Pablo's going to share his tips because he was a migrant.
Do you know how much money it cost me to become a citizen, Queenie?
How much?
When I arrived to Australia 10 years ago, I did not really thought about what bank I would go with. And I just saw like a branch and I was like, you know what? I just go there, brought my passport, and then I created the account. I mean, now I realize that I was paying so many fees. There are lots of different ways that you can send money with, like, for example...
That's a really good tip.
Another thing to look out for in finances is...
Yeah, I love this one because this is probably one of the best things that we have in this country related to finances, and that is superannuation. So, Pablo, what's the first thing that you need to do?
The first thing you need to do is...
Did you know that there have been 500,000 new migrants coming to Australia in the past year?
Yeah, I was one of them.
Well, not in the past year, the past 10 years.
The past 10 years.
So today we're going to do an episode to all of our new migrants in Australia and give some tips on moving to Australia because we are a very multicultural society. Actually, there are some interesting stats on this. Did you know that half of the Australian population has had at least one parent who was born overseas, which is me. My dad was born overseas. My mom was born in Australia. And 27% of Australians themselves were born overseas.
That's a lot.
It is a lot, right? And the Australian Indigenous culture is also one of the oldest continuous cultures in the world.
Good on them.
Yeah, very interesting. So today we wanted to go through an episode about how to set up your finances if you are a new migrant moving to Australia. And yeah, what to do. Pablo's going to share his tips because he was a migrant 10 years ago.
That's right, Queenie. And also for those listening that already are in Australia but from Australia, it can be useful if they were to want to move overseas as well because, you know, these are tips that obviously some of them will be specific to Australia but some of them might be applying if you are wanting to move overseas.
That's very true. That's a very good point.
And one more thing. Welcome to Australia. Gadigal Land, Sydney?
Yes, Gadigal Land. That's right. So yeah, let's get into it. So Pablo, what's the first thing that you need to do?
The first thing you need to do is share your money win. And my money win is that, because that's the tradition on the podcast, before even we share the tips, we share money win. My money win is that I just called our energy provider and we finally are on a different tariff, meaning that we have on-peak and off-peak hour. So that would be very beneficial for us because we charge our car at night and that uses a lot of electricity. But before we were paying the top price or the flat rate on this charge. But now it's half the price or if less than half the price because we've gone on to this off-peak, on-peak tariff.
So it's a great money win.
It's a great money win. I think I will just make sure and in the next couple of months track the pricing of our electricity bill to make sure it is actually cheaper because the rates are more expensive during peak hours, like between like 6 and 8 or 4 to 8 or something like that. So we need to be mindful, but seeing if we can charge our car after 8 and overnight, how much money we're going to save.
Maybe another thing we could also do is schedule our dishwasher and washing machines to run during this off-peak time as well.
Yeah, now that we have this new plan, we should definitely look at those. Obviously, like sometimes it's a bit more annoying, you know, you don't want to be like everything at night and then it doesn't always follow your schedule. So you need to make it following your nice schedule. But if you can just run it at night when and then the next morning it's ready, that's perfect. What is your money win?
We batch cooked. We made a really big pot of bolognese last night. And bolognese is great because it can be used in so many recipes, like obviously spaghetti bolognese. You can make lasagna with it. You could make lots of different things with it.
And on top of that, we are planning to freeze this blueness.
Yes, we will. So when we have our baby, we'll have some food to eat while we're too busy. No, the baby has other food.
Baby,
free food, actually.
Free food. You just made some food for the baby.
I make food for the baby, which is pretty cool.
That should have been a money win.
Yeah, that's true. It's free food for at least 6 months.
Yeah, maybe for those who did not get the hint, Kuni can make milk.
Yeah, I can now. It's really weird. It's such a weird feeling, honestly. Very strange, but satisfying. Weird, isn't it?
Do you feel satisfied after?
Yeah, it's like, wow, that's so strange. But I made free food.
That's an infinite food loop.
It is. It really is. Just remember that everything that we talk about in this podcast is general and doesn't constitute personal financial advice. You can read our full financial services guide in the description. We would also like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of our land, and we extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people today. Okay, so Pablo, what is the first one?
Is when you arrive to Australia, is, you know, setting up like your finances, and comes with finances, bank account. So I think for me, when I arrived to Australia 10 years ago, I arrived in Newtown, in Sydney suburban. And basically, I did not really thought about what bank I would go with. I saw a bank, one of the big four bank, and I just saw like a branch. And I was like, you know what? I just go there, brought my passport, and then I created the account. And I guess at the time, there wasn't that many options in terms of bank account, doing that online and things like that. But now there are. And some things to look at for when opening bank account, I think nowadays, especially that interest rate is high, is looking at good interest rate and also fees of the bank and things like that. But maybe you can share, because when you made a video, I remember, about bank accounts. So some tips on how to pick the right bank accounts.
First things first is make sure that it is a registered bank account and it is insured by the government, because there can be some kind of businesses posing as bank accounts, or maybe they have marketing around their messaging that seems like they're a bank account. They might say, wow, get 6% interest or 7% interest. And you might think that's amazing, but is it actually a bank account? Or are you investing in something that you don't know about? So make sure it's a bank account, firstly. They are insured up to $250,000, which is good. So just in case something happens to your money, the government will actually give you up to $250,000. And there are some bank accounts that, it depends on the visa that you're on. So I think that there are some bank accounts where you can't open up an account unless you're a permanent resident or a citizen, but there are some other bank accounts where you can open up an account if you are on temporary visas. So that's also something to keep in mind as well.
Yeah, I guess looking at all these requirements, obviously to make sure, and we made a video like more in details of each bank account, but that's something really good to have sorted from the get-go. So when you find a job, you can get paid in Australian dollar, and that's easy. Another thing to look out for in finances is receiving and sending money overseas. So back in the days when I still had like my student school fees back in France, because that's how I paid, like through a bank. In France, you don't really have HEX. You basically, either you pay it from your like own money, or you get a loan from the bank and then you pay the school that way. And that's how I did it. And I had like a few more $1,000 to pay. And the way I was paying it is basically I was getting paid in Australian dollar, and then I had to transfer from my Australian bank account, like one of the big major banks, sending back to my French bank account and then paying that loan back, basically. And I mean, now I realize that I was paying so many fees, because like these big banks, they take so many fees when you send money overseas. And now there are lots of different ways that you can send money with, like, for example, Wise, OFX or Revolut, and all these accounts, basically they allow you to send money with like much more transparency and much lower fees. So that's a good way to receive and send money overseas. And also for me now, I don't even have like a French bank account. So I just use Wise, and Wise allows me to have like a European like a French bank account so that way I can receive euros in there without having to keep all the paperwork in France and things like that.
Why is this honestly such a game changer? So if you want to send money to friends or family overseas, or they want to send money to you from overseas, it's a good one to have. And yeah, the fees are so much cheaper. And we also have a link where you can sign up and get a fee-free transfer of up to £500. Pretty good. But yeah, it's really cool to check out all of these different products and see which one's right for you.
Yeah, exactly.
It's also not even just for expats, but just for traveling in general. There are some cards or banks that may charge hidden fees in their exchange rates. And using cards like Wise or Revolut can be really good to save money on transaction fees when you are traveling overseas because they're a lot more transparent. But there are some banks that actually don't charge any fees on foreign exchange fees. So there are quite a few. So ING has quite low fees if you are making all of your minimum deposits and monthly transaction kind of minimum amounts. UBank as well and Up have really good rates as well. But outside of that, it's good to double check and make sure that your bank does have good fees when you're traveling overseas. And if not, potentially look into Wise or Revolut or some of those other options out there.
I think it's really good because they give you like a physical card that you can actually, you know, have different currencies. So if you go to the US or if you go, you know, in the Philippines or Singapore or Europe, you can use your currency and convert it to the right currency. And then you save on those. You still pay like fees, but much lower. And like you said, Kuni, there are also other options out there, like with your bank, to pay less fees.
Yeah, exactly. What's the next one, Pablo?
The next one, I'm glad you asked, is credit cards and travel credit cards. Or not travel credit cards, but credit cards that you can earn points to travel. So basically, the first day I arrived in Australia, I flew actually Malaysia Airlines. It wasn't bad. I was okay, you know, for me, like international flight was pretty good. It was just long flight, 24 hours, because you stop in Kuala Lumpur, KL, and then you come to Sydney just afterwards. But it was quite expensive, even at the time. And that was actually just before, you know, there was this missing plane.
Yeah.
I was like, not a few weeks of before, after I flew, I was like, oh, that could have been me.
Oh my gosh, it's appearing. Scary, yeah.
And yeah, so I was like, I don't know if I want to travel, you know, same airline. But anyway, I flew here and then I had to fly back a few times and we went back even to Europe. And back then we were like literally just looking for the budget airline, or you know, we were going on Skyscanner or Google Flights, and I don't think Google Flights existed at the time, but finding the cheapest flight to go to Europe. And that was like what we were doing. And back in the days, it was still not as expensive as of now, but it was still expensive for like this long flight, because you know, you take like two long flight, 24 hours. So we were like, you know, trying to find a way to get around this. And then that's when we discover credit card points. And then we started collecting Qantas points. And then now going to Europe, we always fly either Qantas or through Emirates or, you know, Oneworld, the partnership of Qantas planes. And then that saved us a lot of money. Plus we usually travel. It's better Qantas than Malaysia Airlines, I would say.
Yeah. You get a lot of food, you get extra baggage, and we also have lounge passes so we can enjoy the lounge. And yeah, it's just a way better experience. Plus, even with our credit cards, because we book our flights with our credit cards and we often book our accommodation with our credit cards, we also get complimentary travel insurance with our credit cards. So there are so many things, so many benefits of using credit cards wisely, for making sure that you pay back everything that you owe. That's the caveat. But yeah, there are heaps of other credit cards on the market. There are some really good Velocity ones, the Velocity Platinum card, the Qantas Ultimate card are some good options. And if you want a credit card that, you know, you're not really fussed on a particular airline, there's the Amex Explorer card as well. That could be a potential good one as well. It all depends on what you like, who you want to fly with. And it's also important to double check with your visa requirements, because some credit cards do require you to be a permanent resident or an Australian PR, but some of them I think do have temporary visa requirements. So yeah, good to double check.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think it might be a good idea if you want to save on travel and you are good with your money.
Yeah, exactly. Just make sure that you are paying back everything that you owe, because it can you know, they can spiral if you're not careful with it. And if you're enjoying this podcast, don't forget to give us a 5-star rating and follow for more.
And actually, speaking of visa, there are a few ways for people that are listening from overseas or that are even here that want to learn more about the visa and those type of things to come here. So basically, there are visitors visa or like working holiday visa. So that's a visa of 1 year that can allow you to stay here.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
And work 6 months at the same company. That's how actually I came to Australia first. I came here on an internship 6 months and I entered the country on this working holiday visa. So it's not too expensive. I think it's around like $400 and then you can stay basically a whole year in Australia and you can work for the same company up to 6 months. Then you need to find another company. That's, I think, quite good to, you know, dip your feet into it and see if you like the country or not. And on top of that, not all countries are allowed on this visa, unfortunately. I think all the major countries, but there are also another type of it. There is also a work and holiday visa that allow more countries to come in to work and go on holiday. And another thing actually recently for the UK is that this working holiday visa can be renewed up to 3 times. So you can have 3 years here basically, which is really good. Something to note is that you can renew it another time if you're from another country. For me, I could have renewed it another time, but I would have had to do farm work. But what it means is basically you go in the countryside of Australia and you do farm work as it is for 3 months. And then basically validates that you've, you know, helped in like a remote part of Australia. And then you can apply for the extra year.
Yeah, I remember that, the visa times.
Yeah, that's a long time ago. And then what you can do is basically go, let's say you like Australia or even from outside Australia, you could go onto a skill visa. And that's more like if you have the skills to get onto a visa and then you can basically like response, there is like a way of that they have to calculate things to show you if you match those criteria with your, you know, engineering degree. If with your skills in English and all these things, there'll be, and with your age as well, they'll be like, okay, you qualify for this. And then we can put you onto like a more skilled visa. Another way, if you don't have those skills, but you want to stay in Australia, is that, and that's what I did actually, is a student visa. So after my working holiday visa is basically, I went onto a student visa so I could stay in the country and then I could work after hours for 20 hours a week. And then go to uni. So that was allowing us to stay together, you know, in Australia without leaving the country. But it was a bit expensive, obviously, because you need to pay for the visa and the school. And you can't work 40 hours. You can only work 20 hours a week. So few requirements here and there. And then, yeah, basically, that's pretty good if you want to stay. And then the last type of visa is more like a sponsorship from the company. And then it's like a company that we like, oh, we're looking for this type of worker, but we cannot find it in Australia. So we need to sponsor someone. But then you are tied to the company. And that's also a good way. But, you know, you might want to start working with the company on a working holiday or on a student visa, you know, to show that you are worth the money because it costs money for the company. And then they can sponsor you later on, but they know the value rather than that's going to be harder for them to do it for someone random. And that's what happened to me. I started working still on my student visa with a company. And then it went quite well. And then they wanted me to work more hours. And then that's when they started the process of sponsoring me.
Yeah, I remember all of these visas that Pablo went on. It was not an easy time. If you are listening to this podcast and you are going through the motions with the visa, yeah, it's definitely not easy. So feel for everyone out there. But yeah, now Pablo is a citizen.
I am, yeah. So, yeah. But the question is, do you know how much money it cost me to become a citizen, Kuni?
How much?
Well, it cost me over $20,000. So with all these visas and lawyer's fees and things like that, it cost me over like $20,000 just of visa, plus the other stuff, obviously, but that's a lot of money.
Wow, that is a lot of money.
Yeah, and you know, I was lucky, I was working, so I was able to pay for those. But you know, it's like for people, I think, I feel for people on student visa that need to go to school, need to work, need to pay for rent nowadays. You know, it's like hard.
Yeah, it's definitely not easy. So, yeah. Well, congratulations, Pablo. And to anyone listening out there, it's okay. We'll get easier. So keep going.
It definitely gets easier as you get, you know, the next visa. And I think when I was like PR, then it got so much easier. That was the really hard one to get. But then after that, it just got easier and easier. And on top of that, you get Medicare. So that's really nice. And another thing that was really helpful for me, I mean, was meeting you, Kuni, because we were speaking English all the time. So, you know, I have French friend, if you stay with your French community, it's good because hey, you don't lose French, but then you don't learn English. So for me, being with you all the time, speaking English all the time, that really helped me improve my English.
You do have really good English, hey? In the last 10 years, it's pretty amazing because I guess now Pablo is like, I'd say you're a third Australian. Would you say so? Because you spent a third of your life here?
Yeah, I guess I am.
Yeah, that's really cool, hey?
Yeah, I was actually, we were watching this show and then it's like, how do you define, are you French or are you Australian or what are you? And I guess the guy was saying your accent defines who you are. And I guess I still have a French accent. So I'm still French living in Australia, but a bit more Australian because now I'm a citizen. And we met actually one of my French friend, and you say like a very Bogan accent.
He was had the most Australian accent. And then he started speaking French and I was like, whoa, that's the first time I've heard that, you know, it was so funny.
Yeah, he's trying to be discreet in here. But yeah, I think making either like friends or like, you know, staying close to like Australian people. So it's really good and easier to make connection and learn your English. Another thing related to finances is actually superannuation because when you start working, it's requirement to have a superannuation, right? And maybe, Kuni, you have some tips to share for people that arrive in Australia that look or that are looking to start working and want to get a good superannuation.
Ooh, yeah, I love this one because I feel like this is probably one of the best things that we have in this country related to finances. And I think it's one of the best systems that they have, or one of the best systems that they have in the world related to retirement, and that is superannuation. So I would say if you're looking to set up a superannuation account and find a good one, there are these studies that are done yearly, and there's this company, it's like a government organization called APRA, and they basically review all of the superannuation funds and they publish the best performers and the worst performers over every single year. So I would have a look at those articles and see, you know, which ones have they highlighted as, you know, the best super funds, which ones have they highlighted as the worst super funds, because the ones that are typically the worst performing super funds are the ones that charge really high fees. So they might be trying to outperform the market or do something really special with your super, which is great, but they also charge really high fees, which can eat away at your super balance. So generally, like the low cost, set and forget, easy superannuation funds usually rise to the top. So that's a really good place to start. So that's APRA, APRA. And it's a government organization that actually audits the superannuation industry and makes sure that people aren't charging crazy high fees. And I think last year, the ones that were badly performing actually had to send an email to all of their members and tell them that they were ranked as like some of the worst performing super funds. So they are pretty serious about this. So that's good. So definitely have a look there.
That's pretty serious that they had to send like an email directly to their customers and say, we are with a bad super fund. We have very high fees.
It must be pretty serious. Like they must be pretty bad for them to have to do that. So yeah.
Good on APRA.
Yeah, it is good.
Yeah. And another thing that people don't think about when they move to overseas is to look at, you know, which city they're going to move to. Because, I mean, Australia, there are a few cities. It's not that many, but there's still quite a few. And the cost of living and the style of living is quite different. And a good website to look at before, you know, moving place or going somewhere is Numbeo. And basically this website is basically like a Wikipedia, but for finances or cost of living into each city. So you can search for Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, Melbourne. And basically you can see how much it costs to rent a place, how much it costs to go to a restaurant, how much it costs for grocery shopping. And you can see basically, have a bit more an idea of how much your life will cost in this particular city.
That's a really good tip. And even if you're traveling as well overseas, you can have a look and see how much your average meal would cost out at a restaurant in a different country. Or if you're thinking of moving somewhere, you can see how much, you know, the average rent costs or how much the average groceries or a cup of coffee costs. It's a really good tool and it's all crowdsourced information. So it's updated quite regularly, which is really cool.
Yeah, exactly.
And Pavlo, what are some funny culture shocks that you've had?
Well, funny culture shock. I think when the first time I came to Australia, so like I said, I was living in Newtown and I went to Kmart around here to get a few pieces of furniture and stuff. And I had so many bags, I remember. So I took the bag, leaving Kmart and come back home. And then at home, I realized it was quite late. It was maybe like 9 p.m. or something. I realized missed some stuff that I bought. Like, what happened? So did someone steal it? And I was like looking everywhere and like, oh, I must have forgotten a bag over there because there were so many, you know, they were like, I was missing maybe hangers and things like that, coat hangers. And I was like, oh, damn it. And then I went back the next day, you know, we never know what's the worst thing that can happen. And I went back there and the bag that I purchased did not move. It was at the same single spot in Kmart. I was like, this will never happen in France.
Oh, I was there. Yeah, I was waiting
there.
For you.
It was there. Like, no one touched it, you know. It was there. So I took it. How nice is it, like, you know, to just have it there? I was really lucky.
That was really lucky.
But I guess it's not so lucky because it's just Australian people, Australian in general is so safe in that regard that people, you know, they're not going to take your thing. Because I guess the life is quite good here. People don't need to do these things.
Yeah, that's true. I guess there is a good welfare system. So people don't, I feel like they don't need to kind of like do that to other people. And also I feel like the income disparities, like obviously, you know, it's, there's still like wealth inequality like there is everywhere, but I feel like it's not as high as some other countries. So maybe the rich people aren't like crazy, crazy rich and the poor people aren't crazy, crazy poor when you compare it to other countries around the world. So we are really lucky.
We are lucky and that's why I stayed here for 10 years.
Yeah, how good. Any other funny stories?
Well, another funny story is, you know, I used to go to the supermarket. I still go to the supermarket. And then at the beginning, it was such a shock for me because, like, the person is like, how are you going? I'm like, me? You want to know how I'm going? But it's funny. They just say that just as politeness. You know, they did not really, like, expect you to. Well, actually, you know, this morning, jamming the line and stuff like that. So it was quite funny. It's nice still. But it's, you got to read the codes, right? But another thing was nice is like the bus driver, you know, everyone says hi. I don't know if now they still say hi to the bus drivers, but I remember that was quite nice. You say, hey, say thanks. And, you know, that's nice.
Yeah, that is nice. I do like to say that when I leave a restaurant or a bus because, I don't know, I guess it must be hard some days like as a bus driver or working in a restaurant, you know, and if someone just says hi or bye to you, maybe that makes your day a little bit better.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And any other tips for people moving to a different country, Pablo?
No.
Okay.
Good luck. Good luck.
Okay.
You got this.
Okay. Yes, you got this.
You got this. I don't know. I think I've laid out most of the tips. one thing is intuition, you know, just follow your intuition. Like if something's not right, it's not right. And, you know, listen to the voice inside you. But also it gets easier and easier as the years go. And the more, I guess, the more you become part of the country, you understand more and it gets easier as well.
That's a very good point. Intuition is a good one. I feel like that's really important when you're traveling overseas or just like living in a different country. It's like, listen to your gut feeling, you know? That's so true. Sometimes if something doesn't feel right, then maybe it's not right.
That's right.
Well, thank you so much for listening. And we hope you enjoyed this episode about tips on moving to a new country. And we'll see you in the next one.
See you in the next one. Bye.
Bye.